Welcome to the Big Kids Book Club. A podcast about all things fictional, from middle grade to young adult. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Big Kids Book Club. My name is Marcus and I'm your host. And joining me on the show today, we have author of several books for younger readers. Her brand new one, War of the Wind, is out now. It's Victoria Williamson. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Marcus. It's great to be here.
It's lovely to have you on the show, Victoria. Now, we've had a little chat pre-stream and we've got to know each other a little bit better. But for the lovely listeners, do you want to just introduce yourself, tell them a little bit maybe about your writing journey, how you became an author, some of the highlights up to where you are now?
Yeah, sure. I think like an awful lot of writers, I started off writing as soon as I could hold a crayon in my hand. So even before I knew really how to form a letter, I was busy trying to make sentences. So a lot of my early books were just little doodles with a few sentences that were really badly spelled above them that I clipped into books. And when I go on school visits now and I talk about this to, you know, 10, 11, 12 year olds, they all get really excited because a lot of them still do that, where they make little booklets themselves into their first books. So that's obviously a thing that a lot of children go through. But I didn't stop there. I just kept writing into my teens, into my 20s. I always wanted to be an author. I ended up having a bit of a career sort of change in terms of being a teacher, but that was partly because I loved traveling. I really wanted to see the world in my 20s. So I spent 4 years with VSO, Voluntary Services Overseas, and I taught for 2 years in Cameroon. And I also trained teachers for 2 years in Malawi. But writing was really my passion. So no matter what I did, I was always writing in the background. But I found it really, really difficult to combine a full-time job with actually having enough time and enough energy to be creative. I know some people can do it, but I was burnt out by the summer holidays. So that was my big writing block time gone. So really what I wanted to be was an author. So when I got my first book published just over 4.5 years ago, I find actually the teaching had been a really great thing because it meant I could go into schools and I could talk to children about books, and that wasn't daunting for me because I'd been a teacher for so many years. So actually the two of them have combined perfectly because now I teach creative writing classes as well. So I would say to anyone who's looking for a writing career, if you're looking for a second career, also do teaching, because the two of them, if you're doing children's novels, those two things go hand in hand perfectly.
Oh, there you go. An introduction and a little bit of sort of like life management there. That's quite cool. I love that. But Victoria, what I also loved was this book. War of the Wind is your latest one now. For those who are first coming to hearing of this novel, do you want to give us a little bit of the synopsis, a little bit of your inspiration for it?
Well, the inspiration was slightly stolen. Not stolen, I would say gifted. I was having dinner with my mother one evening and she said, "Do you know what? I've got a great idea for a story for you. It's about wind turbines and it's called War of the Wind." And I said, "Oh, wow, tell me more." And she said, "Well, that's all I've got. Don't you think wind turbines are a bit spooky? Do you not think maybe there's something going on with them? They're a bit like..." And we had a big conversation about books that she'd read to us when I was a child. So things like War of the Worlds and The Tripods. And I started thinking, actually, yeah, wind turbines are pretty spooky. So next time I was out for a walk, I looked at the wind turbines in the horizon and I thought, yeah, they are actually kind of creepy. And I started imagining, you know, what are they whispering? Because there's a sort of strange hum. When you get up close to them, there can be a bit of a strange sound coming off them. And I imagined, you know, what are they whispering to us? What are they saying? And that sparked the whole story. So I started coming up with an idea because I used to be a teacher who taught children with additional support needs. I thought of a story where all of the central characters had additional support needs, because I think it's really important, you know, for children, all children, to see themselves represented in books. So I imagined a character who had lost his hearing. So he was immune to whatever it was that the wind turbines were whispering. And that started the story off. So basically, the story is set on a remote Scottish island, made-up island, where the main character Max, who's 14, has lost his hearing in a boating accident 2 years before the start of the story. And the island is, because it's remote, it doesn't have mobile phones, doesn't have the internet, they feel a bit cut off. So this new turbine company has promised to give them all of this access as long as they're allowed to bring three big turbines off the island's coast. And Max thinks this is great, but there's a bit of protest on the island because not everybody's keen. And it turns out the protesters are right. There's something weird going on with these turbines. And through the course of the novel, Max starts to find out that people are changing. You know, they're starting to become frustrated, aggressive, and then they start to get violent, and it's affecting the children as well and the animals on the island. And he's going on a journey throughout the story because he's very angry to begin with about the fact that he's lost his hearing. He was the kind of school bully type in primary school who bullied the kids with additional support needs. And suddenly in secondary school, he's realizing, oh, that's me now. So he's not part of his old gang, but he still hasn't quite accepted, you know, the people in his class. He doesn't quite identify with them. So it's his journey of actually realizing, I'm one of these people who's made assumptions about other people, and now people are making assumptions about me. So it's the reader being able to see through his eyes that idea of empathy and being able to just get to know people without judging them. So it's partly a story, it's kind of a sci-fi creepy story, and partly a story about a journey of acceptance and empathy and getting to know people and not judging them.
Yeah, I really loved the balance of sort of walking the line of understanding, like walking a mile in someone else's shoes, which Max sort of comes to appreciate, especially with like Erin. And I think Beanie is the one at the beginning when they're really picking on Beanie at the start. And then obviously the way the plot unfolds and then his immunity to Dr. Ashwood's experiments. It was really quite cool there that you sort of like the blend of like your mum's just sparked the initial idea and then you sort of developed on it. And it was really interesting the way that the island added also that sense of remoteness. It's almost that sense where whenever you have a sort of a creepy, spooky thing, they're normally like they're trapped in a house and there's a storm outside, or you know, there's a sense of remoteness that basically means that you can't leave this scary situation. And I really like Scragness as a place to just really develop it. But yeah, the sort of War of the Worlds is quite an interesting one to look at it. It was very much, I felt more the sort of going to the cult classic sci-fis like the Body Snatchers as a sort of like inspiration, just the way people's personalities flipped. And it really sort of showed that way around the way the characters developed. But you mentioned there about the support need, the kids all needing additional support needs. And I thought that's beautiful at the beginning of the book. Boom, page two, it shows some British Sign Language just to really sort of emphasize, you know, how, you know, everyone can be inclusive in having their own hero of the story. And I just felt that was such an powerful one. I wonder if you've had any reach out, because obviously this is books that are already out now. Have you had any readers reach out to you and be like, oh, it's so good to see myself as the main character and not maybe either a side character or not included at all?
Well, initially, I talked to the British Deaf Association because I wanted to make sure that I was getting the syntax and grammar of the British Sign Language correct. Because obviously, not having hearing loss myself, I don't use sign language, and it is a very different language from English. The word order is very different, and there's other words that you don't use because one sign in British Sign Language can be an entire sentence in English. So I talked to them and they read the book to make sure that it, you know, the British Sign Language throughout was consistent, and they gave us some feedback on that, and we did do some changes before the book was printed up. So yeah, we've talked to them, and now that I'm going into schools, you know, it's going to be interesting. I've had a few parents say my child has got hearing loss, so this is a book we're going to put in their hands. So we're hoping over the next couple of months we're going to get more feedback over that. Certainly for my previous novels, I found that a lot when I put a child who had additional support needs as the main character. There was a lot of children saying, oh, finally, there's kind of representation. But I think now the children's book market has changed an awful lot from when I was, you know, reading in the 80s. where there wasn't representation back then. I mean, there weren't even that many good female characters back in the 80s, never mind anything else. So I think now it really has changed. There's an awful lot more books that do have main characters, and I think that's just going to get stronger and stronger in the market as people realize actually so much more interesting when you can read a whole range of characters, and it's so much better when you get a different perspective on the world through your characters.
And let's talk range of characters. And we have to, if Max is a fantastic protagonist, he's going to need a decent antagonist. And Dr. Ashwood's a bit of a work, really is. How much fun was it, sort of, because some of the interactions, obviously, because he knows, or he works out, Max's immunity. And I believe he speaks some sign language at the end. So he's equal, a sort of a opponent for Max, but how much fun is it to sort of like temper a great protagonist with an equally great evil antagonist?
I love writing kind of the antagonist type who's just evil. You know, there's no redeeming features. I do love that kind of you're up against someone who has no sympathy, no empathy. They just want what they want, because I sort of feel like that's a bit like corporations at the moment. You know, this is what we're up against. We're up against people who just they have their own way of wanting to do something. They have their own goals, and they're just going to do it regardless. But it was funny because I did get a question from a 14-year-old last week, just as the book came out, and he was asking about characters like Dr. Ashwood, and he said, "How come your main characters, your teenagers, are so three-dimensional, so complex, and your adult characters are two-dimensional, and they're just, you know, they don't have the same complexities?" And I thought, that's an interesting question, but I think it's partly because I like having that kind of foil of the background characters. You know what it is they're trying to do. So all the complexity can come through your main characters. You know, you sort of see their thought processes, but you know what's going on with the Dr. Ashwood types. They're just creepy. They're just evil. They just have to be stopped. So I tend to like characters like that because it makes, you know, it makes the main character's heroic journey a little bit more heroic then.
Absolutely. And you're talking about the complexity of writing characters, Max obviously is changed, and his life sort of takes a difference after the accident. I really like the way, instead of saying at the beginning, there's a nice little prologue that just teases the before things, like what's the last thing I heard? That was beautifully done. But rather than give us an info dump on Max's journey, sort of like during the whole thing, there's flashbacks and just start saying chapters that just pieces together, and as you get finally to the end, you find out the effect and what happened and the sort of emotions he went through when he was in that boating accident. Like with the flashbacks, it was such a beautiful writing tool, and the way the prose came out, was that something you initially went and wrote sort of firsthand, and sort of just wrote an entire chapter, and then it was broken up maybe later? Or did you actually just start this breadcrumbing, I suppose, is what you'd say, the breadcrumbing of the accident, because it adds normally to Max's complexity. You get a little bit more of the flashback as it pertains to maybe an emotion he's feeling in the moment while he's foiling Dr. Ashwood. Beautifully done.
That was definitely planned out from the start. So the prologue was the first thing I wrote when I didn't want to, like you say, info dump the whole kind of recovery process and all of that, because I felt that could come out through the story, you know, and that kind of anger that Max felt. Because there's two ways you can approach stories like these. You can approach them from the point of view of what I've done with Max, where he hasn't accepted his disability now, and he goes on a journey of acceptance. Or you can write a book from the point of view of, say, Erin as a character who's been deaf since birth, and she's completely happy with who she is. It's, you know, deafness is just a part of her life. She's perfectly happy. You can write it from that point of view. But I just felt, because I don't have hearing loss, I felt it was easier for me to imagine, you know, what it might be like as a 14-year-old who'd been hearing up until that point and then losing their hearing. That for me as a writer was probably easier to imagine. And also, I wanted to be able to show Max not being accepting of the other characters. But I think having those little bits, like you say, put through the novel of how he felt in the past and how that's affected him. It also helped the reader to sympathize with him a little bit more when he was being nasty to the other characters, because he is a bit rotten to the other characters. The words that he uses, you know, the language that he comes out with, and the way that he talks to them, and the way that he thinks about them, is really almost quite dehumanizing in some parts. So Max can actually come across as quite a nasty character in some points, and I think those little flashbacks to how he felt about his accident and what's happened to him maybe just help temper that a little bit and make you realize, no, this is a teenager. 14-year-olds, they struggle anyway quite often, and if you add something in like an accident where, you know, a 14-year-old has lost his hearing, that's an awful lot on top of being a 14-year-old anyway. So I think those little flashback moments helped make Max a little bit more relatable, maybe a little bit sort of not quite as mean as he could possibly come across without that.
Absolutely. It was one of the ways that when you're reading the story, it just keeps you engaged and keeps sort of drip feeding some more of the sort of like the motivations. And I think it's just something for that just really made the novel very impactful for me, as well as a very pacey and engaging, like say, sci-fi narrative. So just one more time, I just want to say I really enjoyed this, and I feel like so many other people are going to enjoy this. The War of the Wind is out now from Neem Tree Press. It's absolutely fantastic. Go and find it at your local friendly bookshops, online, wherever you can find it. It's really a great one to find. Victoria, really enjoyed. I'm so grateful that I was able to get my hands on a copy of this book. And it got me wondering what else you have up your sleeve. Is there anything new that you're writing in the background?
Oh, so many books.
So many books.
So many books. I have a number of books coming out next year. So I have several coming out with Neem Tree Press. I have another fantasy book coming out with a different publisher. So yeah, there are several books in the works. And maybe one day I've been asked, you know, by several readers so far, are you going to come back to Scragness Island? I have ideas for coming back to Scragness, so I don't think we've seen the last of Dr. Ashwood. We shall wait and see.
Yeah, I think there's a bit in it towards the end where like that his type never completely goes away. They always come back as someone new, don't they? I mean, it's quite
Yes.
apt. Quite apt. Well, that's awesome that you got some more to come out, and it's very awesome. Although what's not awesome is the fact is we're slowly coming to the end of today's episode. But before we do disappear, let's get on to the competition. Yes, competition time, lovely listeners. For one of you lovely listeners to get your hands on a copy of this fantastic book, you can head over to our Twitter at Big Kids Book Club, all one long lovely word, and there you're going to be retweeting and liking the competition post with the hashtag #WindComp. That's hashtag #WindComp, and we always add a quizzy question to our things. So what obviously the whole idea that the wind turbines might be sort of like secretly an evil experiment sort of to try and mind control us in that way was such an interesting way, and it had me thinking like what other ways could you potentially use wind power for? Now obviously we use it, I think it's quite relevant right now with the energy crisis going on, that it'd be lovely to have more green energy. But if you could use the power of wind to do something else and revolutionize our lives, what would you have the power of wind do? Victoria, can you think of a way that we could use the wind to completely revolutionize our lives? I'm afraid putting you on the spot here.
Oh, I don't know. This has got me thinking about, oh, are we going to have cars that are going to have little wind turbines on the top of them? Is this going to be, you know, if we had like a super-powered wind turbine, would all our cars, instead of having radio aerials coming out the top of them, are we going to have little wind turbines on top of them? Are we going to have planes with little turbines? I mean, we've already got sort of propellers on planes, so that makes you think about that. So maybe one day wind turbines will become so powerful that we can actually all just have wind turbines on our houses and on our cars, and that will just be the energy for the future.
That would be quite cool. I thought what another weird and wonderful, so almost going too sci-fi here, a way of maybe capturing air and basically turning, like tornadoes are crazy. If you could sort of capture a tornado into a what do you call it, a sort of jar, as it were, some sci-fi way of doing it, and that way we wouldn't have to use washing machines and laundromats and stuff like that, and
That's a great
save
idea.
all that energy we're using on, because I know my laundry, my tumble dryer is probably the most energy wasting machine in my household at the moment. And now the days are becoming a little less hot. It was great in the summer, you put your clothes out on the line to dry, but in the winter not so much. But then I could crack open my jar of of tornado and just shove the clothes in and the tornado would dry them up. I don't
Oh,
know.
see, that's such a great idea. So now I'm immediately thinking of, oh, if Dr. Ashwood could harness that power, then he could start a war with tornadoes. You know, it would actually be a war of the wind. You have got two opposing armies and they've got these
Oh,
balls of
blow them
tornadoes that they're
away.
throwing at each other. Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm going to go off and write that idea. Thank you.
As some of the weird and wacky ways that we could use the wind to revolutionize our lives, we want to know what your insane, sci-fi, fantastical, go absolutely crazy with them, the weirder the better, ways that you would use the wind to revolutionize our lives with the hashtag WindComp. And one of you will get your hands on a copy of The War of the Wind for your amazing troubles. So, how's that sound, Victoria?
That sounds fantastic. Yep. And I'll even sign it for you.
Absolutely. And this has been fantastic. So, Victoria, once more, all I can say is a big thank you for joining us on today's show to talk about this lovely book.
Thanks very much for having me.
Before you do disappear, Victoria, do you want to let our lovely listeners know how they can find out more about you and your book? Is there a social media or a website they can go to?
Yep, I've got a website, www.strangelymagical.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Strangely Magic. So feel free to come and have a look. I've got lots of free resources for schools on my website. So if you're looking for a resource pack to go with War of the Wind, if you want to do it as a novel study, then I've got an entire resource pack that's cross-curricular, lots of different areas of the curriculum, and you can study it as a novel study.
Oh, that's brilliant. There you go, teachers. You have yourself a little resource pack there. For all the other lovely listeners, we hope you've enjoyed today's session. Don't forget you're going to head over to our Twitter at Big Kids Book Club to join that fantastic competition. But you can also head over to our website at bigkidsbookclub.com. There you'll find additional reviews, previews, and a whole archive of the podcast, over 160 episodes. So if you are just finding us, there's plenty more to enjoy. But that is all the time we have for today. So until next time, all I have to say to you, lovely listeners, is for you to take care, to stay safe, but most importantly, to keep on reading.